We're going to do a few things here this morning, so I just hold on with us. But, oh goodness, that scripture, that word, I hope you could hear what he was saying. We have copies of it if you'd like. But what I heard the Lord saying, especially as we were praying for those up here, and maybe you didn't come up, maybe you weren't ready, maybe you were not comfortable. I'm reminded of the portion in Revelation where he says, I stand at the door knocking. The Lord asked me, and I believe he wants me to ask you. Yeah, we're about to do it. But I believe he's wanting me to ask you, have you given his room away? What I believe the Lord means by that is, he wants you to have your home set up and in order in a way that when he knocks at the door, you're able to welcome him in, feast with him, and say, hey, guess what, Jesus? I got a room all set up just for you. You are welcome here. This is your home just as it's my home. And it's really hard to do that when you've already given his room away. When you've given it to shame or fear or worry. Eli shared a word with us Friday when we were going to a worship night. Eli said, I feel like the Lord wants to say that he's restoring, reconstructing. Like, yeah. But then he didn't stop there. He's like, so Lord, I want you to restore the body. I want you to restore praise. I want you to restore hope and life and freedom and joy. Who robs us of those things? Is it the Lord? We sure act like it. Lord, why'd you do this? Why'd you make me go through that? That hurt. I didn't like that. That wasn't fair. Didn't go the way that I wanted to. And now I'm hurt. I'm upset. When actually what happened is we allowed the thief, the counterfeiter, the one who masquerades as an angel of light. He's no longer an angel of light, FYI. But we received his call and said, here, take what's mine, because he has no power of his own. Take what's mine. Take my joy. Take my life. Take my peace. And then we wake up and we're like, what happened? Why do I feel this way? Pastor Glenn says it oh so rightly, but he said the devil doesn't even have keys to his own house. Don't give him the keys to yours. Come on. Take him back. You have the right to walk up to him, snatch him back, and tell him to get out. And if you didn't get that today, I have time. Let's take care of that today. All right? Because there's nothing more important. There's no schedule or agenda that matters more than that. Are you hearing me today? So I hope it's okay when we take a little extra time to get some work done in the Lord's house. And I want to encourage you that don't do it just here. Would you take that hope, that story, that life that resides within you, and would you share it with somebody? Here's something that the Lord gave me, and we'll move on. But he said, for every hour you spend in church and in the assembling together, I pray that you spend at least a minimum of that amount of time doing something for somebody out of the church, outside of the church. Can you hear that today? There are a lot of people that are so scared to do anything bad that they're consumed with going to services and being in the Lord's house. And I'm not knocking being in the Lord's house, But where are the sick? Where are the sinners? Where are the hurting? Where are the broken? Are they always in the church? Or are they scared of the church? Have we run them out of the church? So I need you to hear that today. If you're hiding here because you're running from the call that God has on your life, he's telling you to put those boots on, pull those drawers up, and go do some work because he's with you. I can't tell you how bad that's burning in me. I know that's probably got some people upset. Chris said pull his drawers up in church. I don't know what's going on with this place. I'm tired of just playing church. If we're not the church, what are we doing? Guys, I don't even care if Hope has a name on the map. This place has a name on the map. All I care is that Jesus has a name on the map, okay? Can we share his glory? Can we cooperate with both the saved and the unsaved to do something good? The world can do it. How much more those who are called by his name and filled with his presence? There's a whole lot more we can do, and we're not doing it. We haven't reached our limit. We haven't reached the point where we're like, I've given all that I have. You want to know what it is? Some people have given all that they have, and someone needs to come alongside them and refresh them and say, tag, I'm it. All right. this is a little bit different, so I hope you're okay with different. If you're watching The Chosen, they have a little saying. They say, get used to different. So I hope that's okay with you. And yes, thanks for the slide, guys. You can give online if you are an online giver. We thank you so much for doing that. Last thing I'm going to ask you to do is, if you are new here, I see a lot of new faces that I don't know. Come say hi, and please fill out a connection card. Tell us a little bit about yourself so that we can make connections with you. I'd like to go get a coffee with you or something if you are for that sort of thing. So just let us know. I will go to coffee with you anytime. I'll even move dog mansions for you. Right? All right. So today we're going to say our declaration, and guys, just to demystify this, there's less power in the words that we're saying and more power in the one we're saying to. And we're coming into agreement with what he says about us. So as we put this together, it's, Lord, what do you want to declare? What do you want us to agree with? So that's what we're doing today. So I hope that as we share these words, you can say them and ponder them and say, Lord, how can I agree more with whatever statements I'm making in the church, outside the church? So that's what we're doing today. I'm going to do hand motions because that's just me. So join with me today as we say our declaration. My eyes are on Jesus. My heart is tuned to his spirit. My ears are listening to his voice. My mind will believe what he says, and my voice will declare the truth of his word. Amen? All right. We may be talking a little bit more about that today. But Lord Jesus, I pray that you would anoint the words that I have this morning, some of which you've already shared. Please continue to do so. Continue to take over this service, Lord. We don't want to dictate or determine where we go, when we go, or how long we go, Lord. But Lord, we pray that you have the words of life and we speak them out. We declare them and we come into agreement with you over our lives and the lives of those that you've called us to minister to. We praise you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Happy Father's Day. If I did not say that, I want to make sure you know that I love you and I bless you, fathers. Thank you. All right. So today, I, Pastor Chris, am wrapping up my part of our Blueprint series. Next week, next Sunday, the 27th, Pastor Gary Dunahue, who was our interim pastor for a little bit, is going to join us. He's got a message on Blueprint, so he's officially going to finish it, but this is my last sermon on this topic for now. I have a whole lot more that I could talk about, but the Lord said it's okay. And something I'll give you a little bit of a teaser on, I don't know the name of it yet, But what I want to go through, and I feel the Lord's massive blessing on this, is we're going to start to discover and rediscover what it is we believe, why we believe it, what's baptism, where does that come from, where does this stuff about the Holy Spirit come from, where does tithe come from, where's that in the Bible, why do we do that, where are the Ten Commandments, who knows? Maybe none of us. We know them, but we don't know where it's at. We're going to rediscover all those things. And my hope, my prayer is that as we rediscover them, we're able to share simple, easy ways to read more about it in the Bible, to explain why we believe what we believe, so we can be better and more effective ministers of the gospel. Does that sound okay?
Sure.
All right. So, in this series, we've discovered who our foundation is, that's Jesus, how he's equipped us with gifts to do his will on the earth. And I hope at this point, we can begin to see how each of us, we're going to talk about this just a little bit more in this sermon, but each of us has a unique call or purpose, and Jesus deposited specific gifts in you to accomplish that unique purpose. So I'm going to say this probably again towards the end, but I need you to hear me on this. This is super critical. So if I say nothing else, don't look at somebody else's ministry and say, you know, you kind of do the little stinky lip. I couldn't do that. What's that? Ugh. Their gift doesn't look like yours. Their ministry doesn't look like yours. That's okay. Actually, that's my favorite part about it is the diversity. Did you know that you can be both diverse and unified? Did you know you can have those qualities about you and still cooperate together and work together for the mission of God? That's the way he intended it. So I hope if you get nothing else, you get those things. So I want to share a few extra truths regarding our call and something that stuck out to me, and I think they may have a title slide. I don't know at this point. I'm sorry, but I've kind of shifted everything, so just go with me. But we're talking about a portion of scripture that I read and I read and I read and I read and I read, and it deals with a measure of faith. But as I looked at the measure of faith, God uses measurements for a ton of different things too, so we're going to talk about a few of those, and I want to give you a brand new word. Are we okay with new words?
Yeah.
All right, say metron. We're not talking about Megatron, nothing with Transformers, metron, okay? Metron. And it's a Greek word, the Strong's 3358, for those of you that like looking that up, 3358, metron. It's a Greek unit of measurement. Now listen to what it says. I actually like all of this, so I'll just read it and keep it in there. But properly used, it's a measure, the actual measure itself. Figuratively, it's the basis for determining what is enough or not enough. I like that. What is fair or not fair? It's a standard or measure. It's the controlling basis by which something is determined as acceptable or unacceptable. Preeminently rooting to the Lord himself as his being is the only ultimate measure of truth. Isn't that good? So we have a scale, we have a ruler, a standard, and it's Jesus. And we can be measured against that standard. And the thing that I like about it, and Jesus really simplified it, he said, if I can come on earth and give up all of the powers of the Godhead and fulfill the will of God as the Holy Spirit is filled in my life, I'm giving you that measure, that standard by which you must also walk to be more and more and more like me. That's a lot easier than do it right now. No, every day you're going to be transformed. Every day you're going to look more and more like Jesus as you walk with him. Amen? All right, so I have this thing that everybody has just been like, what is he doing? You know, various comments. I'll share not all of them. But I have this little measuring contraption here from Christy that I thought was pretty cool. And so just to give you just a visual example, we're going to talk about it more. But this measures liquid, and it also measures dry cooking stuff. I'm using super fancy words. You can check out my cooking show on YouTube, et cetera, et cetera. This is 4 tablespoons, the whole thing, so like this, 4 tablespoons. But when I flip it over to the dry side, I want to show you something super cool. At least I thought it was super cool. That's 4 dry. So I don't know about you husbands, you men, who have tried to help, you know, we're gonna help out the wise. We're gonna get this done. We're gonna show them we know what we're doing. And you instead use that side and you fill it up and you pack it in. You're like, I'm gonna make sure I get all that sugar or whatever it is in there so I can make something good. And then it pops out the oven and it is not good. It's like, I ruined it. What happened? Well, I didn't follow the measurements. There were specifics. It wasn't just, I think I can cook. I got a knack for this. I know what tastes good, right? I have to follow the instructions. And there's a specific measurement for how I can go about it. So you see, when I line this up, you see that gap? You see that bit here that extends to the glass? It doesn't match, does it? So you can have something a little bit too sweet or a little bit too bitter. And it doesn't go the way we intended. So that's a visual example. I've got another one in a minute, but just wanted to help you understand we're talking about measurements. And you and I can say, well, according to my standard, I think this is pretty good. And God is going to say, what measurement is that? Give me some specifics, because that doesn't line up with mine by like a few thousands, right? Like, it's very different. God has a standard of measurement. And I encourage you that as you walk out, you step out in faith, which is what we're talking about today, that measure that you use, that you're asking Jesus to tell you, hey, so what does your standard look like? Could you help me measure up to your standards? Amen? All right. So in Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 16, I believe I have this on the screen. I'm reading in the New Living Translation here. I just want to, we started here many months ago back in February. I want to just reiterate a few things here again. So Ephesians 4, 11 through 16 says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds or pastors, and the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, which is the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord. Here's that word, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. Are we still immature? Come on, somebody. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. There's stuff coming up all the time. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like truth. If you remember nothing else, gosh, remember this one. I love it. Instead, we will speak the truth in love. Not you love to speak the truth. Hey, here's what's going on with you. No, you speak the truth in love. Growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Did you know that he's the head of this body? Yes. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Is that something you want for this body and the greater body of Christ? Amen. So Lord, show us how to do this. Show us how to walk in alignment with your measure and your full standard. We cannot do it without you, Holy Spirit. Guide us into unity. Guide our speech. Guide our hearts. Guide our minds. And help us to be quick to repent when we don't walk in accordance to your measurement and your standard. We make it a lot harder to say two simple words, I'm sorry, than it needs to be. I add a few extra things to mine. I say, I'm sorry, I was a bonehead. Like, please forgive me. I hope you know this is not in my character, but like, I absolutely blew it, right? It's okay to do that from time to time. Please be humble. Please be willing to repent. So in the scriptures we read above, we see that these ministries are gifts from who? Jesus. So we have gifts of the Holy Spirit. We have gifts from the Father, where we've been in Romans chapter 12. And now we have Ephesians 4. Gifts from Jesus. You think he loves us? He loves us times three, y'all. Come on. Like, we got gifts from every part of the Godhead. That's super cool, super exciting. And they all work together. Sorry, I'm skimming through this and cutting things out. We dealt with some stuff today, so I think it's a little bit easier to jump over. I like this. This is the thought that the Lord said as I was putting this together. I'm going to ask you a question and then give you an example. The question he asked me is, do we need a group of people all doing the same thing the same way, or is God showing us how he has diversified our giftings and the calling we have to the communities he's placed us in? So do we need to all be doing the same thing? No. He's like, I got it covered. Is it okay when someone says, I'm going to go and I'm going to support this ministry? Bless you. Absolutely it's okay. Is it your church? Is it my church? Is it your mission or my mission? Whose is it? So does he get to position the chess pieces how he sees fit? Yeah, he does. Another person said it this way. They said, it's his cookie basket. Right? I like that one. So here's a little bit of truth he said as he tied onto that. So as church sizes scale, churches grow, churches shrink. It's not good or bad, so don't look at it that way. It's his, remember? So it can have that fluctuation in growth, fluctuation in size. Here's my prayer, and I believe he wants us to have this prayer, so write this down. I pray that the diversity and the unity does as well. Because if we're the body of Christ, and we're all supposed to be knit together, and we all have a specific function, does he need 80 pastors in one church that are called to preach the gospel? No, he probably needs a handful of them, and then the others need to go start another work, and start another work, and start another work. So do you see that? Your call is to be equipped and to go. And to be equipped and to go. Amen? Can you see that today? So I pray that the diversity and unity also scales so that we can be effective like he intends. Because we're going according to his measurement. So he gets to tell us, well done, good and faithful servant. That's not for us. Right? All right, now some of you are here, and I need to remind you of a truth. So we're going to read one verse in Romans chapter 11, right before chapter 12, where we've been all these weeks. It says in verse 29 of chapter 11, "For God's gift and his call are irrevocable." What does that mean? Speak it out. He doesn't take it back. He doesn't stop. He doesn't repent of it. He's not, I'm sorry I said, right? So you might be here today thinking that it's been too long or that you haven't stepped out for God, so his blessing or gift must not be with you anymore. This scripture actually proves just the opposite. But it also means, you got to hear me on this, so listen with those internal ears, that heart ear. It also means that there are those that are operating their gifting from God, remember the one that's irrevocable, but the spirit they are operating in is not of God. We've specifically, not trying to run anybody through the mud, but guys, there have been prophecies by specific people in this church, thankfully they're not present today, but have been truth, but not with love. It was not to build up. It was not to edify. It was not to exhort. And remember, as we studied prophecy, it has to fit those buckets. It has to fall in those categories, because that's how the Holy Spirit operates. And if you're operating by any other spirit than Holy Spirit, you're operating your gifting out of line and outside of his anointing. And the answer or the response that we should have is, Lord, forgive me. Help me to only operate this gift as I'm led by you. Because your words bring life. Right? Let me give you an example of call without the anointing. And it's so funny. We were at an event and anyways, this message has been around. So the Lord wanted to do something specifically this weekend around this topic. So here's what the call without the anointing looks like. And you may have a few things click for you. Acts 16:16-18. Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God. They are telling you the way to be saved." That doesn't sound all that bad, does it? Was that the truth? Yeah, it actually was. Wow. But she kept this up for many days. So finally, Paul, the apostle, became so annoyed, yes, annoyed is in the Bible, that he turned around and said to the Spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." And at that moment, the Spirit, that's a little s, left her. This is an example. I really hope none of us are dabbling in this. If you are, repent before the Lord. But witchcraft, fortune telling, horoscopes, all that junk needs to just go back to hell from where it came. You need to get free from that stuff. Amen. The only one that can speak into your future and tell you things about your future is Jesus. Amen. And often when you have prophets that are acting by the Spirit of God that tell you something about your future, it's in an effort to build you up. And often God usually only gives you a picture. He only gives you a nugget, a portion. And what he wants you to do with that is step forward into it and be faithful so he can cause it to grow and expand. And it's all for his glory. It's not just so you know what's coming. All right, I know that I need to turn left up here at the light, right? It's not just for that. It's for his glory and for the establishing of his name. Okay? Not so you can have a band of followers, all right? I got to share this. It was so good. Here's another little just clarification on this. This pastor that was speaking, she said, "I get told all the time from people that say, yeah, the Lord's told me, it was prophesied the other day that I'm going to start writing a book and it's going to be one of those bestsellers. I'll make all this sorts of money." And she's like, "Really? What's your book about?" And they have no clue. They haven't started anything. They haven't done anything. And listen to what she said. This is powerful. So align your word that you've received something like this. She said, "Unless the Lord told you that a scroll is going to dribble down from the heavens and land right on your lap, it probably means you ought to do something with what God said." Can you hear that today? The Lord's told me I'm going to do... Okay, so what are you doing with it? How are you going about it? Because unless he said he's going to teleport you somewhere and you know, wrap you up in a bunch of stuff and do all that, it means that you ought to go. Let me give you one more example. When the Lord called Abraham from his father's house, did he say, "I'm going to just make you do all these things and I'm gonna just transport you there instantaneously"? Or did he say you had to go? He said, "Where am I going?" "To the place that I'm going to show you." You know, it's like, all right, any more details than that? Nope. All right. Hoping this is the right direction, but I'm going to start walking because that's what you said, right? Sometimes it's like that. And that's not meant to be discouraging or, "Oh, God's not with me. Whatever will I do?" It's, will you be faithful when you have a lot of details or when you don't? When it's easy or not? When it looks good or it looks terrible, right? I'm going to accelerate this to the very end because I believe the Lord has a punchline for this and they have to tie together. But here's what he said in my closing, and maybe it's just for now. So I skipped a whole lot. So Lord, forgive me if I needed to say anything there. But listen to this. So what have you been called to do? I need you to hear that the simple answer to that question is to preach the gospel. Robert's a preacher. Chris Dawkins back there is a preacher. Rochelle is called to be a preacher. Anne's called to be a preacher. Elsa's called to be a preacher. That's your first and foremost commandment from the Lord. That's your first title from Jesus, if we're calling it that. And as you're faithful with that, he reveals all the other ones that he's called you to do too. And he equips you to do all those things as well. But some of us will find that we have a specific focus. Here's what he wanted us to say. I need you to really grasp this because we're going to pray. We're going to put some work to this. So some are called to foreign missions like Stephen and Amber and the various other missionaries we've talked about. Some are called to come alongside me and say, hey, I don't know how I fit into this, and my style is probably a little bit different than yours, but I feel like I'm called to teach the word. Can I come alongside you and we work out a system or a plan together on how we can effectively minister the gospel through the teaching of the word? Some are called to go and minister in their neighborhoods. I can call out a few of your names right now, but I'll refrain from putting you on the spot. But I actually know a few of you right now, and you may not know it. But you're called to grow a church in your neighborhood, a home church, a small group, whatever you want to call it. Some are called to minister in hospitals. I know who you are, too. Some in schools. And it starts getting a little dingier. Your lip is starting to curl. Just refrain. Just pull it down if you have to. Some are in the grocery store. Some are in the prisons. It doesn't have to look the same. Yours isn't better than mine. Mine's not better than yours. You can get that. Gosh, you will be so liberated. What? It can be anywhere? I've heard this way too often. That's not my calling. I don't want to help there. I need to remind you of something, that often your calling is not always something that feels good to you, or that you're like, yeah! Often it's a stretch. Talk to me sometime during the week and I'll tell you a few examples of my own. Often it's a stretch. The defining quality that I found in it is, it's not always something that you like, but it's something that is so effortless sometimes, because you have to yield so intently to the Holy Spirit that it's not you doing the work, so you don't feel the effects of the exhaustion. Are you with me on that? Can you hear that today? It doesn't mean it's not hard work. Doesn't mean that's not one of those that's spiritually draining. So you've got to be filled up by the Lord in your word, in fellowship with other believers. We've been talking about relationships for I don't even know how long. So if you forgot that word, relationship, okay? But you need to be filled up because you are pouring out. But because it's what he's called you to do, you're going to find that contentment. You're going to find that peace. You're going to find the ability to press through when it doesn't seem like you can press through. And here's the gotcha. If you're trying to look at somebody else as like the measurement by which you should do it, and you're like, why does it seem so easy for them? I encourage you to ask them, because they're probably going to tell you it is not easy. I hate this. And I hate using that harsh language, because I don't mean hate it in a like that sense, but it's just like, I want to do better, and I have my own standards, and I have my own desires, and I want to do this, but God doesn't let me. What's going on, right? And you find that your control or lack thereof is getting in the way. Your pride or your standards are getting in the way, and you just got to say, I'm done with it. Lord, help me to yield to yours. Yours is the one bringing the results. It's not mine. That's false. You're confusing yourself. And just let it go. Like, you know, it's not going to produce the lasting results that I know that you secretly deep down want. And I absolutely know the Lord wants for you. So just give it up. Here's a quote that I just absolutely have to share before I finish my final part. And I love this. Once again, probably one of those that you ought to write down. I can send it to you if you don't get it down. But I need you to probably say this until you believe it, because it's for you, but it's also for you when you look at others. The fastest way to kill something special is to compare it to something else. The fastest way to kill something special is to compare it to something else. Don't do it. Well, I'm not as good of a preacher as them. Not as good as a teacher as them. I don't have all these stories. I don't have all this stuff. Lord, they're really good at missions. I don't know if I can do that. They're really bold. But what you don't know, they're probably crying the night before like, Lord, if I could go anywhere else or do anything else, Lord, can I just do that? He's raising his hand over here just so y'all know. It's not easy. And you're looking at a small picture in time, you're like, I wish I was that. And you have no clue what it took to get there. And your story is not always going to look like theirs. I know I'm beating this one into the ground, but I need you to hear it. It's for us today. It's what we've been doing all day long. Stop comparing and just say, God, give me a story. Give me a focus. Give me clarity. Step by step, day by day, mission by mission, a clarity. Some marker that I know that it's you and I can hold on to that one thing and just do it in faith. Right? It doesn't have to be big. I'm talking about some of us read the story of Gideon. It's like, all right, where am I going to find a wool doormat that I can get wet and then not get wet? It's just, you don't have to go through all that, okay? Just, Lord, confirm it for me. Give me clarity. And then I'm going to remind you what he told Joshua over and over and over. Be strong and courageous. Do it. Say yes. Because you've probably given him every other answer other than yes. Use yes. See how it goes for you. Try it out. Here's the last little nugget for you. So worship team, please get prepared. Get ready. And I say this a few ways, a little bit of a tongue twister, but hear it in all the ways. What God has called you to is a gift. What God has called you is a gift. All right, so we get it. What we're called to and what we are is a gift, right? Receive that today? So that gift and you are special. But you have to step out in that measure of faith that he's provided. So I want to pray for us together today, right where you're standing. So if you would stand up with me, I'm going to pray that the Lord helps us to step into our God-given calling, to be filled with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We touched on that a little bit, but I feel like I've given you some additional detail, additional clarity today that you can hold on to something and say, yes, that's what I want. All those people I saw coming up to the front, that's what I want. The thing that I was wrestling with when they asked me to come get prayed for, okay, I get it now. I want that. So I am going to lift my hands to heaven like this, like I'm receiving a gift. I encourage you to do something similar if you're okay with it, but you don't have to. And Lord Jesus, I pray that each and every one of us would increase our expectations. Increase the size of the box that we are figuratively holding right now in Jesus' name. And all I can say, and I hope all we can resound with, Lord, is we want more of you. Increase the size of our box. We want more. Your word in Psalm 23 says that we would receive it and we would be running over. Well, Lord, we're increasing the size of the box, so we need a little bit more so that we can still run over. And I know you can do it right now today in Jesus' name. You're already doing it today in Jesus' name. I declare that right now over everybody in this room, holding their hands out both physically and spiritually, Lord. Fill them up. Fill them with more of you, Jesus. And Lord, in all the places that you've been placing in their hearts and their minds as I've spoken today about what their calling is, where they're called to go, who they're called to go to, Lord Jesus, I pray that you give them a steadfastness and a confidence of knowing that it was your voice. And they press forward in boldness today. No shame, no fear, no worry. Lord, and I feel you saying this right now. I need you guys to hear this. It's okay to make mistakes. Did you know that this is him? This is how he's saying it to me. Did you know that I can teach you just as well through the mistakes as I can through doing it right every time? It's okay to make mistakes. Be humble. Be quick to repent. Be teachable. Someone I can mold and use according to my will and my purpose. Be flexible. So Lord Jesus, we pray for that. You know, we say, yes, help us to be flexible. Help us to be moldable and teachable. Help us to be humble just as you were humble. Some of you are being promoted to servant. And you say, Chris, but that's like the bottom of the bottom. According to Jesus, that's the top of the top. So Lord, promote us. Help us to be servants today in Jesus' name. Show us ways that we can serve each other inside and outside the church. Ways that we can speak life into people inside and most importantly, outside of the church. For your glory and for your purpose. We say yes and we say amen. Amen. All right. I bless you. You are dismissed today. Please remember to drop offerings in the baskets at the back, tithes and your gifts to missions. And the worship team is going to play through a song. As always, you're welcome to hang out in here. But please, if you're not worshiping, let's go out and talk and catch up. Happy Father's Day. We love you. And we'll see you next week.